Ephesians chapter 1, so chapter 6, sorry, 10 and 11. It's going to be a quick one. Praise the Lord. Just as a church, I'm used to doing this. Nobody had talked to me about it, but I just felt it's not like a school teacher. I'm correcting that, and I will get it. Praise God. Right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I just want to talk to us as a church family, okay? And as individuals. Now, I'll read that quickly. It says, finally, my brethren, that's all of us together. Brethren there talks about Adolphus, okay? People who came from the same womb, from the same family, from the same father, from the same mother particularly, all right? Because that's what that word connotes. Say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Being strong in the Lord there will talk about being knowledgeable. Know about what God has done. Be strong in what he has told you. Don't forget, this is chapter 6. It started from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. All right, and I say, finally, and you know, putting everything together, be strong in all of these things. All right? He has told us so many things before. Now, let's not go into that. But verse 11 is the point. He says, you should put on the old armor of God. This old armor of God. Don't see it as a jacket. No. He's talking about knowledge. Be equipped in the knowledge of God. Now, see what it says. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the point I'm going to. All right? Just as we get into the teaching this morning, or just some preambles this morning, is for us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you see this word wiles. All right, it's an old English for method or method, methodologia. It's the pranks of the devil. See, we just finished studying the name of Jesus, how we have the authority, how God has given us power, how we are sat together with him. The devil has no authority over you, over any believer. He knows that he has no authority. But what he's got is these wiles, all right, deceit. All right, and this deceit can come in different versions, from I'm tired, from excuses, from offenses, from well, is this church? Which, you know, it could come in different form, different version. All right, I told you, I gave an example the other day how the devil. I said, if you're holding this microphone, all right, he has no right, he has no power to take it away from you, but what he can do is to talk you out of it. Yeah, we say, why are you holding it? Are you the only one? Why are you holding it? Can you not do other things with your life? All right? Every time, church, just take it easy. He would say, you see? He said, but you are still holding it. You see now? You can just, you see? You don't have to hold it like that. Eh? Are you the only one? You are just doing church. You are just doing Jesus like this. Yeah? Then the next, I said, why not just the second hand? You see, is it not still standing? You see, it's still the same microphone. All right, it's still working. And that's what it does until it deceives the believer to by himself surrender his will. By himself just drops what God has said. It's a wile of the devil. All right? Don't allow pride. Don't allow offense from anybody, even from the pastor, to make you derail or depart from God. You know what? You know, when we get to heaven, God wouldn't count my offense against me. You know, he has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. But then, whatever we've done in the name of the Father, that is what he will reward. Hallelujah. All right? I want to encourage you to, in the name of Jesus, put your eyes on the ball. The ball here is Christ Jesus. Don't allow the devil, all right? You see, the reason we teach ourselves the word of God, so that we can stand on the old armor of God, all right? So that we will be able to what? To stand against the wiles, the tricks, the pranks of the devil, all right? Oh, I don't like what that brother did. I don't like what that sister did. Or it may not even be your faith. It could be, well, church, I can take a time off. I can just take it easy. Hallelujah. No, friends, all right? Anything that makes you step out of the plan of God, it can be the will of God, all right? And that's why we teach ourselves to know what exactly is the will of God for us. Okay, and it's very important. I just thought I should encourage us with that this morning. It came to me when we're praying the Holy Ghost, just as we're leading us. That was what was laid upon my mind to share before we get into God's word this morning. So please, can you help me preach to a neighbor, left and right? Don't be distracted by the devil. let's use the word. Don't fall for the methods of the devil. Hallelujah. All right, you know, think of it as his pranks. We've taught ourselves we are so empowered. Hallelujah. And what the devil does is just to make them forget who they are, forget the main thing, and pay attention to tricks of the devil. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm aware, just quickly before we get into the word this morning, I'm aware that last week there were some other questions, all right? And I think I was listening to the teaching. I said, we'll come back to some questions. I think we got into the teaching and we didn't even answer any questions, okay? Please, if you've got any questions whatsoever, please let us know, okay? You can send questions to ayo.afolami@believershouseholdje. Okay? Please, you can just send, or if you go to our website, you will see places you can make comments and stuff. We'll be able to see those questions and be able to attend to them. Because of the brevity, I'm watching the time now. We have 1 more hour. We still want to teach, all right? So please, Jesus answered a lot of questions. And many of the things that we learned today, even about marriage, you know, Jesus did not deliberately teach about marriage. All right. When some guys came to him, a woman was married to this man. The man died. This one, the other man, Abba. Anyway, you know, this one died. This one died. This one. Then he now said, "Okay, when we get to heaven, what will happen?" You know, it was a question that Jesus. You know, it was from there that Jesus taught us that, hey, there's no even marriage in heaven. We would not have known. All right. We would not have known. Praise God. So please, if you've got questions, all right, please, if you want to keep it anonymous, if you want to meet me, I'll prefer that, you know, of course, I don't mind answering questions one-on-one, but I would prefer that we all learn from it, all right? Let me tell you something here. I said I was going to say one day, if I'm wrong on any of the things that we have taught, I'll be the very first person to say, yeah, I got a better understanding. Trust me, all right? Because you know this thing is progressive, right? I'll do it with all Son of God humility and Son of God that I am. Hallelujah. There's no, we are the one that is here. Praise God. Oh, this one is, I got into the groove already. All right, praise God. So please, let's all learn together. Let's all grow in the Word of God. I just saw that Ike was trying to, I was in the move already. Praise God. All right. So please, let's by all means ask questions. All right. And again, that's what our believer circle. That's what it's for. All right. Where we can answer questions, you know, encourage ourselves in the Lord, pray together. Please let's be mindful of that. So please, if there are any questions, you know, now there are some questions that you will ask or that we will ask. I will say, okay, let's wait, because some questions, they are better taught in a teaching. We have questions about baptism, questions about Holy Communion, questions about anointing oil, all right? We have questions about those things. I'd rather we do a teaching, we just see God's word for ourselves. So it won't be my position or my thinking versus yours. We're just going to see ourselves, see in God's word for ourselves. And we'll be able to better understand it rather than in a question and answer kind of a series. So one of these days, I'm looking forward to that day. All right. You guys should give me more time. You should be meeting 4 hours every you know, so that we can teach these things. You know, let me tell you I'm getting to the word. Can you see now? I'm conscious of time. See, we're going to teach in my plan. We're going to teach the name of Jesus for about 6 weeks. That's what we do this, but we ended up doing it times two of the time, because we did about 12 tracts on that, all right? And I believe it was not a wasted time, all right? So, but I believe maybe I'm campaigning for myself now. If I have 30 more minutes every Sunday, I'll be able to cover more ground, but it's okay. Let's keep what we have. So please, if you have questions, let us always bring that up. Do we have any new friends joining us for the first time today? If you are new, it's the first time here in church. We love to see you. We love to welcome you. We love to, because we've been praying that, Lord, you will bring more people. You'll bring more friends to us. All right, we've been praying. Is it your first time in church today, ma? No, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ma'am, is it your first time in church today? Are you shy? Are you didn't be shy. You're welcome.
Good morning, sir.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. What's your name, ma'am? Have you not seen before? All right. Oh, okay. Praise God. I know I've met you before. Something happened. And now I know. Hallelujah. I know you. Hallelujah. And please help us welcome Rico. Rico, welcome to church. Welcome to church, Rico. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rico is our guest. He's staying with us, visiting Jersey for the first time, and he's staying with us for 10 days. You're welcome, Rico. All the way from Japan. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please, before we go, let's just say hello to them, reach out to them, and make them feel welcome. Hallelujah. Right. Just to introduce to us the new series we're going to be starting. We on Thursdays, every Thursday. I don't know when that is going to end. It's going to be, maybe we're going to have it in parts, part one, part two, all right? But just so that we don't take another long series like that. But we're going to be talking about, please, can we project that? The gospel of our salvation. Every Thursday, all right? And particularly, we want to explore the Savior. Who is this Savior? All right? Then the salvation that he brought. What was it? Is it temporary? Is it just for everybody? Is it just for me alone because I'm wearing white and I look like an angel? Is it just for, you know, who is it for? Then, the nature of his salvation, then we're going to be looking at the saved. What is the effect of this salvation that this Savior brought to the saved? What does it make him to look like? All right? We're just going to be looking at that, and we're going to take our time, all right, just to study God. You don't want to miss it. Please let me encourage you, all right? Again, I understand the pressure on your time. All right, on our time, as if I'm not part of on our time. But please, let's make out time. 1.5 hours every Thursday, all right? In the days, we will travel 5 hours, and we travel another 5 hours back just to attend meetings. But now, there's no travel. It's just some distance, all right? Please, let's make up our mind to be part of this. It will definitely revolutionize your Christian life. Because we hear some things that will be, you know, let me give us something. You know, we've always thought that the devil wanted to challenge God and be like God. You know, that's the narrative. Well, you know, that narrative is not true. It wasn't going to be like God. He knows his place. Be like God. We can't be like God. We'll talk about who does he want to be like. All right? These are the things we teach in this series. And because there are layers upon layers, we can't just rush them. All right? That statement that I've just made now, all right, we need about 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures to read it. It takes about 35 minutes to even land on those conclusions. All right? So we just take it thought after thought. And that's how I've been taught. All right? And that's how I want us to learn as well in God. So please make yourself available. The gospel of our salvation. And on Sundays as well, we are going to be starting a new series, all right, today. It's called Fervent. You can see it's even very fervent. All right, we want to make it dramatic, you know, fervent, like, you know. And again, the purpose of that is to see what are the requirements of the Lord's service. How do we serve God? Right, and all of these things that they're in our Bible and they are for us to learn. Hallelujah. So we have all of these coming up in the, you know, in this summer. Please make yourself available. Don't excuse yourself, don't hesitate. All right. I can be sure that your life will never remain the same and that your walk with the Father will be enhanced in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we ready for God's word this morning? Praise God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you are a faithful Father. We give you all the praise because there's no God like you. Thank you for your great love with which you have loved us. Thank you for you holding out to us, giving us eternal life, assuring us that nothing can snatch us away from you. We give you all the praise. Father, as we get into your word today, to even know better of you. We ask that our lives will never remain the same, that our heart is opened, and that we are able to comprehend with all saints the depth, the height, the width of your love towards us in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, let's just project it. Chapter 12, verse 11. You know, many believers, all right, we rejoice in the fact that we have been saved. And it's true. We celebrate the message of grace. Oh, grace did this for me. Grace did that for me. I'm saved forever. Oh, you know, Jesus, he loved me. He loved me. You know, I love you, Jesus. And it's true. All right? He did that for us. Hallelujah. All right? You know, they rightly give glory to God. We rightly give glory to God, acknowledging that Jesus has done it all. And that salvation is entirely his work. Yes, we do so. That Jesus, we rejoice and give him glory. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Yes, yes, hallelujah. That he saved us eternally. Yes, yes. That he saved us all by himself. Yes, yes. However, Paul, the apostle, who brought this knowledge to us, or who clearly unveiled the theology of salvation, did not stop at just explaining how we were saved. I think that's where most of the believers, you know, get it not incomplete. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and true, that revelation, that knowledge in God's word, it was Apostle Paul, of course, and the other apostles that brought that to us, Apostle Paul particularly. But then, the way we read Apostle Paul at times, we just read what he, you know, we just read about that salvation, not reading what more he said about the salvation. Hallelujah. He explained that we are saved, but then he didn't stop there. He didn't stop at explaining it. He went further, please pay attention, to reveal the mystery of the church. You know, of recent, I've been talking to Ross, there is a bad sense, like it's bad to steal, it's bad to lie. And there's a good sense of, you know, common sense, good sense. And there is the Bible sense. There is what the Bible says that may be, looking at it today, may be different from what is popularly accepted. I gave you the illustration of, you know, a man or someone, a disciple, better put, that has just lost his father. Huh? And he was going to ask, Lord Jesus, please let me just go and bury my father. That's the right thing. That's the common sense. Right thing to do. If I were the manager, I was like, okay, please, yeah, you can, of course. Oh, should we just, how can we help? All right? But Jesus said, no. Huh? Let them do, who else will do it? I'm the one to do it. But Jesus said, no, that's not a common sense, but that's a Bible sense. That's a Jesus sense. Hallelujah. So we learn to not impose common sense on Bible sense. All right. But rather, we learn to allow Bible sense to form our common sense. Hallelujah. All right. Like I love to say it. We don't fit God's word into our logic. We fit our logic into God's word. All right? I allow God's word to form my logic, my reasoning, my thought pattern. And that's the idea of what we're talking about today. All right? So it was Paul that, you know, revealed those things to us. He talked to us about how the church is. And it may be different from common sense, but it's Bible sense. Okay? And particularly, both Paul and the rest of the apostles, Peter, Jude, James, John, they talked about the necessity for spiritual growth. They talked about the necessity to know. If you've seen, they will tell us, grow in the knowledge. Know me more. Love me. All right? They didn't just say, okay, now that you're saved, okay, I'm saved to do what I like. I'm saved. I'm, you know, no. We are saved to be responsible. We are saved unto a responsibility. We are saved unto something. God saved us for a purpose. And I think we've emphasized that, you know, over and over in this church. Hallelujah. So therefore, the believer needs to grow up in the Lord. The believer needs to grow up in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see what it says here. Look at it. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. See how, you know, just, maybe just before we mention that, recently in our in our Believers Academy, we did a module, all right, in one of those 8 or 7 weeks that we did the class or the course. We called it the New Testament Tenses. The New Testament tenses. We talked about the past tense of salvation. What Jesus did, he saved us forever. You know, he forgave us our sins. We have been accepted in the past. But then we also talked about the present tenses of salvation. The things that he asks us to do. For example, he told us to love. He told us to forgive. He told us to pray. He told us to obey. He told us go and evangelize. Those are the present tense of our salvation. Now we have the future tense of our salvation. All right, things that will happen in the future. We said both the past tense and the future tense, we don't have anything to do about it. Because he promised it that he said, I've done this and I will do that. All right, but then the present tense is where we have work to do, is where we have responsibility, is where you and I must do something. One of the things that I've said is none of us will get rewarded for being saved. This salvation that we are saved eternally, yeah, is the work of God, yes, but there's no reward for it. By reward, what I mean is there's no, you know, we are just saved. We are now sons of God. But then upon being saved, there is what we call reward. We're going to talk about that in this series as well. There's no reward for being saved. There's no reward for being sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given us. True. We should bask in that knowledge. All right? But that knowledge, it is God's work. It is the work of God. All right? It is what God did. And there's no reward for that. But then, maybe let's backtrack a little bit. Let's see what this one says. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. See how it tells us to, this will be one of the present tense, right? Active tense. He says, not lagging in diligence. KJV says, not lagging, not slothful in business. The business here will be the business of the Lord. And that was where we brought the topic from, all right? He says, fervent in the spirit. All right, it says serving the Lord. So it describes how we today as believers, how we serve the Lord. It says not slothful, not lagging. All right, slothful there will be not slow, not tardy. All right, not backward. All right, it says fervent. The word fervent there talks about boiling water. All right, you must have seen a water in a pot or a cup or a container that is still just there. All right, he says, don't be like that still water. Be like the water that is boiling, that is on fire. All right, that idea of boiling talks about fervency, talks about passion, talks about hot, being hot for the Lord in our service to the Lord. It therefore tells us that there's an attitude to serving the Lord. There's a disposition to serving the Lord. Yes, we are saved. Oh, we're not. All right. Yes, we are saved. Yes, we are sons of God. In so long you have believed that he died, he was buried and he resurrected. Yes, we are saved. But then upon salvation, there is an expectation. All right, there are active verbs, things that there's an attitude to our walk with the Lord. All right, it's not just at my pace. I just do it when I wish. No, permit me to say this way. Who do you think you are walking with? Who do you think you are dealing with? You don't dictate the terms of this salvation. All right, yes, he's a loving Father. Yes, he has loved us forever. But then we must have that understanding. All right, that, you know, is an attitude, is an expectation of how we serve the Lord. But before we progress, let's look at this, just to again confirm to us that salvation is free. We're just going to read some scriptures, all right? That salvation indeed is free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Just so we can clarify between salvation and service that we're about to talk about, okay? Just so we talk about that. Just so that you know that I'm not asking you to pay your way through to salvation. No, that's what we're talking about. We want to clarify that this is the past. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, you... Now, look at that again. Is that past tense or present tense?
Past tense.
We have been saved. Now, see how it happens through faith. That faith will be with us. Faith is we believed, all right? We had faith in what Jesus did, all right? And that is not of yourselves. What is it? It is a gift of God, all right? Not of works. Not that because I did, you know, I did not. Or of course, I'm going to make some statement now, all right? Lest any one of us should boast, it was because I fasted 79 days. Not necessarily. We're coming to that because that is needed, all right? But it says it's a gift, a free gift of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Just again, so look at it, that yeah, we have been saved and it is free. Look at it again. He says, not by works, talking about the kindness of God in verse 4, his kindness towards us. He says, it's not by works of righteousness. We sing that song, it's not by works of righteousness, but Jesus' grace alone. Praise God. All right? So he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, look at it, but according to his mercy. Look at it again. He is saving us. He will save us. No, saved. All right? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at this also as part of our study of about the gospel of our salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. We're just trying to see some of the scripture that gave absolute terms about the free nature, the free kind, the free nature. Can I say the freeness, all right, of our salvation? Look at it. This is the story of Paul and Silas. Where is Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas. Silas. I can see Silas there. Praise God. All right. He says, so this is the story of when they've gone to Philippi, they were jailed and all of those. But then the jailer, after the miracle had happened, they were set free. He will now come to Paul. What can I do to be saved? Because that's the point. Please, can we read verse 30? Just, can we put verse 30 to it? So that we know exactly what this statement, what this answer is referring to. Look at it. And they brought them out and said, sirs, that's the jailer saying that, because he has seen the miracle. These guys, they were in chains. They were locked up in the prison. But the miracle happened. They were set free. Bible says they were singing and they prayed. All right? He says they sang psalms to the Lord. And the miracle happened. The chain fell off. He saw it. He says, well, he went to the prison. But he saw that, oh, they've been set free. He was going to kill himself. It was good because he knew that the authority of the day was going to come after him. All right. So Paul will say, hey, don't kill yourself. Don't arm yourself. We are here. I like the boldness of those guys. They didn't even escape. They came to the jail and said, we are here. Oh, praise God. Anyway, so, and he brought them out. All right. That's the jailer talking here, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So there's a lesson to learn there. Now, he didn't say, give me your bank account. It didn't say give me, all right? See, simple, straightforward. He says, so they said, that's this day will be Paul and Silas, all right? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Straightforward, all right? And you be saved, you and your household. Again, let's clarify this, you and your household here. This man is not believing on their behalf. What he's telling them to do is, you and your household should believe on the Lord Jesus, and all of you will be. It's not believing on their behalf. Every man must believe in Christ Jesus. So the point here particularly is belief. And that's just a simple point, all right, about our faith in the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's look at it again. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. All right, telling us about the simplicity and the free and the nature of the salvation that we have in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about that we have been justified by faith and we have peace with God. We've been justified. That's what he's saying. Romans chapter 5 says, he says, by faith, we've been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. All right. So again, our justification came by what? By faith. Yeah, it's there. Praise God. Therefore, having been justified by what? By much activities, by, help me now, all right, by church, right? No, it is simply by faith, all right? So what justified me? That justification would be, well, it justified me, all right? I'm just justified, all right? And it is simply by faith, because I believed. Now, what followed that justification by faith? We have peace with God. through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have peace with God. There's no condemnation. I don't come, Lord, you know that I did, you know I didn't do. I have peace. I just have that peace with God. Believers must know that we all have peace with God. Why? We have been justified by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what it takes. And if there's anybody here, you are yet to come to this conclusion, just believe. It's, you know, the reason we've not really adopted, you know, coming out to confess your sins or, you know, answer the altar call. By the way, there's no altar. Altar in the days is places where they kill the cows and they kill the sacrifices, all right? That's altar, where they kill things, where they slaughter, all right? This is not an altar. This is just a pulpit, all right? Because they come to the front, okay? Or altar is places, I'm taking too much time on that, okay? So anyway, so the reason we don't, see, people that are coming out, all right, they've believed already before coming. At that point, they've had the word. Do you know what happened to Peter when he went to Cornelius' house? Acts chapter 10, all right? While Peter yet spoke these words, all right? The Holy Spirit came upon all of them. All right, they didn't do altar. Now, it's not wrong, get me right. It helps us for statistics, for numbering, to follow up. We can do that, all right? But then people, you'll be surprised. Many people, they've believed, all right? Anyway, we talk. So it says, I was saying that if you have not believed in Jesus, just believe where you are. Just know. And the moment you do that he died, he was buried, he resurrected on the third day, you're saved. You're saved. Personally, I believe God brought the standard so low. So low. So that you don't need to climb one step, another step. No. Right? It's just an easy passage in your mind. It says if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Romans chapter 10. You shall. If you believe and confess with your mouth, it says that Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. That's it. All right. However, let's move on to the point today. All right. However, the Christian life does not just end at salvation. It doesn't. Let me say that. That's not the conclusion of the matter. In fact, that is the, you know, when they do for us, induction. Hallelujah. When you are in your 100 level, quote and unquote, is the entrance, all right? Upon salvation, there are things to do. Let me just read my point here. While salvation is free and works is not required, we've just read it now, all right? That is just faith. The Christian life does not end there. After salvation, work is not required up for salvation. But after salvation, there are works to be done. There are works to be done. There are works to be done. Hallelujah. All right. There is what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. Because that Spirit that made it possible for you to be born again. All right. That Spirit that persuaded you to believe in Jesus now is not supposed to be in the believer dormant. No. All right. It's supposed to produce fruits in the believer. Hallelujah. Now, let's break it out a little bit. What is fruit? What's fruit?
Results.
Don't tell me mango or oranges. Results.
Yeah. Evidence.
Thank you. All right. Let's take it further. What brings about fruits?
Work,
man. Yes.
Sowing.
When you sow, what happens? Does it just bear fruit the next day?
No.
What? Growth.
Not just
growth. All right. So it is growth that brings about fruits. Hallelujah. So you don't just plant a seed today and it grows tomorrow and it bears fruit the next day. I know there are some GMOs, there are some sciences that makes it faster, but the way even for that to happen, there must be growth. All right. So the Spirit of God in the believer, all right, causes, it says there are, Galatians chapter 5, let's read it, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23, he calls it fruits of the Spirit that suggests to us that there must be growth. All right? So the Bible, or God expects the believer who has been saved, the reason he tells us like a newborn babe, all right, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, all right, like a newborn babe, all right, says desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There is emphasis on growth. And we're going to touch on that today. Let's put 23 with it as well. All right. So So there is growth that is required or that is expected of the believer. There is growth. There is what we call spirit. So the fact that I'm born again, yes, and there's nothing God can do. You have believed. But we're going to get to something very soon. Maybe not today, but as we progress in this study. All right? So, I said, there is what we call the fruit of the... Let's read some of the fruit of the Spirit. So when you see the fruits, all right? Of course, he calls it the fruits, all right, of the Spirit. Okay? He says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you hear fruit, like we've explained, some growth must have happened. Some development must have happened, some increase, some bearing, you know, some work must have been done, all right, for fruit to appear. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost in you and I, the Spirit of God in us, that eternal life in us, all right, is not supposed to be there, dumb and blah. No, all right, there's a work to be done. There's a root that you need to grow in. It tells us to be established, to be firm, to be rooted, grounded in Him. It talks, when you see established, rooted, it's talking about growth. And that growth should produce a fruit such that when we don't see those fruits, we begin to worry. We begin to worry that is there, is this seed, is this spirit? You know, we begin to question. Oh, you know, why is that sister? Why is that brother? All right. We expect the Spirit of God. We're going to give an example now. The Spirit of God in him or her to produce these fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First and foremost, love. All right. And within that love, you will see joy. That is what the Spirit of God produces. All right. In the believer. Peace, long suffering, meaning you bear with one another. You're not just temperamental. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. If you give it to me, I give it to you. I don't take nonsense. I have a boss in those days. He says, I don't suffer fools. It was my first 6 months in my very first career. I sent an email. He said, yeah, and he said, do not, that not will be in capital letters. Do not, you will see him typing and he's going, bah, bah, bah. All right, I don't suffer fools. But then, no, all right, he says, we should be long suffering, we should be kind, goodness, all right, faithfulness, gentleness. You are gentle, all right. Self-control, meaning we are able to control ourselves. But, you know, other versions call it temperance. It's temperance. I can control myself. I can choose not to watch Netflix. I can choose to use that time to pray. It's okay to watch Netflix, but I know to abase. I know to abound. I know I'm not just a slave or at the mercy of everything goes. No, I am in charge. All right, that's what the Spirit of God does to us. All right, self-control, he says. All right, and he says, against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're doing well with time today. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, he says that we are God's workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship. It says that God created before time began. Let's read it. It says, for we are his workmanship. All right? In God's mind, he created us. That workmanship means masterpiece, poema. All right? It talks about a craft. When Caris was in primary school, school, they would tell him, oh, make a craft. All right, so you see, building, whatever, you know, so that's the word, that's the idea of that workmanship. All right, craft it nicely. So we are God's handiwork. That's what I'm trying to get at. God paid attention to it, crafted us in salvation. All right, he crafted a new creation. It says created in Christ Jesus for what?
For good works.
Now, we're going to get into those good works later today, or not today, later on in this study, all right? He says, so look at it, God created us for good works, and those good works, we need to grow up to those good works, hallelujah. With God prepared, now look at it, to let us know this has been the mind of God. See, this is how God wants this earth to operate. I'm telling you that we grow up in his knowledge, in love, in joy, in peace, in all of those fruits that we've seen, all right? That is how God wants it to be. Hallelujah. You will see that those are the good works. We're going to see, we're going to break it down more, all right? Which he prepared beforehand. That what? That we all is not there, I'm the one adding that. We all should walk in them. Hallelujah. All right? So God has an intention. God has a purpose. And like we've read in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, this walking is not a sluggish walk. He says, don't just do it. No, we must be fervent in it. Fervent in his work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We must be fervent in his. So I said, salvation produces fruits in us. It produces fruits in us. Hallelujah. So we have works in salvation. Now we don't walk to end salvation, but upon earning salvation by faith, there is work in salvation. You know those apps that you used to, you know, some, I don't know, depending on the phone that you use, maybe Play Store or iPhone or iStore, all right? You know, there are some app that is free. There's a purchase inside. You don't know, there's purchase. You download it free, all right? But inside, there's in-app purchase. Thank you. It's in-app, that's the correct term. In-app. So, now, God is not tricking us. All right? But honestly, but that's the way it's supposed to be. There is something to do in salvation. All right? And we wouldn't deceive ourselves in church. We are free. It's, you know, happy, clappy. Yeah, we are happy. Part of the fruit is joy. All right? But there's work in it. There is work in it. And we're going to see some of those details as we progress in this study. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. All right. So we said there is work to do in salvation. Praise God. So we said there are active verb things to do in salvation. We grow. We increase. Hallelujah. Let's see 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Peter. Thank you. See again what it tells us to do. It says, but grow in the grace, all right, and knowledge. Of course, the way you know is it calls this, if it's talking about two things, you will notice it will say, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Those are two different things, all right? But here it's saying grow in the grace. That word and there is like saying, what I'm trying to say is that is even so. So to grow in grace, this grace will be the grace of salvation, is a gift, all right? This grace will be the grace of the gift that we receive from Jesus, all right? It says grow in that grace. But what does it mean to grow in that grace? What does it mean to grow? It says grow in the knowledge. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make sense? All right? So that a believer is said to be growing when he's growing in the knowledge of Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to say that better. A believer is said to be growing, all right, not just because he's growing in height or otherwise, all right, but the growth for the believer, and we're going to bring this down more now, all right, is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice the knowledge. Now, I've said it, there are several different knowledge. Can we pluralize knowledge? Knowledges, quote unquote. I don't think there's anything like that, okay? Now, there is the knowledge of project management. There is the knowledge of IT. There's the knowledge of accounting audit. There are healthcare. The folks that helps with the technical. There are different body of knowledge. But Peter particularly is specific, pointing it out that we should grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's put it better. It specifies, the way you read the Bible is, you want to see what is it talking about? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? So what it's saying is that you want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus as a Savior. Because also, there are several things you can learn about Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. It was Mary was his mom, all right? He was 12 years old when he went. All right, there's many things about Jesus. But particularly, it says the knowledge of our Lord. Again, when you see this Lord, again, look at it. This, it's our Lord that is, what I'm trying to say is, our Savior. All right. So in growing, all right, the believer is said to be growing, and in him growing is growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and in him growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus is growing in the knowledge of him as a savior. Simple. Straightforward. That is, like I've said many times, this is the knowledge that the Bible teaches that it will not hang anywhere. If you use the Bible to teach entrepreneurship, you will hear some knowledge, some tips here and there, but you will fault some. It doesn't go through. Some of those business knowledge that the Bible teaches is not even relevant again today. Hallelujah. The Bible is not really big on marriage. All right, but yet there's a knowledge about how marriages work, on business, on career, on, you know, so many things, on farming, on agriculture. All right, this is the knowledge of salvation. All right, is what the Bible teaches through and through, that you can start from origin zero to the destination where you meet Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches about the salvation of God. So it says we should grow in that knowledge. Hallelujah. So Bible encourages us to grow in that knowledge. So one of such verb, let's put it better now. One of such works, all right, that the believer should grow in is service. Service. Hallelujah. Let's read some scripture. Let's read some scriptures. Praise God. We'll come back to that. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Please don't be, let's follow. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Maybe let's keep that there. All right. Now, we said after salvation comes the knowledge, comes growth in the Lord. After salvation comes growth in the Lord, meaning you don't begin to grow until salvation, all right? But upon salvation, we are required to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. That salvation is the beginning of the believer's journey, but not the conclusion. I think we've said that, all right? Once a person is born again, God's desire is that man continually grow into spiritual maturity. Please follow, all right? Spiritual growth, therefore, is the process of becoming more like Christ. It involves increase in the knowledge of God, increase in the knowledge of Christ, and transformation in character. I'll read that again. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more like Christ, increasing in the knowledge of God, transformation in character, and development in spiritual understanding and conduct. Increase in the knowledge of God, transformation in character, development in spiritual understanding and conduct. Right? You develop in your understanding and in your conduct. You know, I've been trying to lay my hands on some small gardening. All right, so I planted some seeds at the back of the backyard. All right, in that seed sprouting, you will see two leaves. All right, but then that's not the end of that plant. All right, and I saw that it now begins to unfold. You now see more leaves coming out. All right, that's change. It's a development. All right, it's a development, and that's growth. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this. Praise God. When a believer grows, okay, it's very important that it changes, it increases. There are changes, there are development, and all. And let's land to the point now. One of the evidences of salvation, of spiritual growth, is service. The proof that a believer is growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. All right? One of the evidence, things that we see that we can point to that, oh, thank God for that brother. Thank God for that sister. Thank God for that family. Thank God for this, couple. All right? One of the things that we see is service. A very simple example. All right? When we have a baby, okay, for that child, you do everything for the child. Okay? Food, clothes, toilet, changing, everything. You even have to feel, okay, what do you, all right? You literally do everything for the child. And that's acceptable, is that not? Yeah. You don't tell Sissy, go and breathe. No, all right? Hey, because she's growing. We feed, we nurture, we make, all right? But when she's two, all right? We can say, oh, bring me that remote control, right? Okay, bring that. The other day I went to visit the father Ibis, and I saw that Oreofe had gone to hit the remote control on the remote control on that one chair, and we're all looking for the control. He's now just brought. Ah, so yeah, that wise. Okay, praise God. All right, at least he can handle. Now you won't tell Oreofe in that age to go and cook Indomie. No, that stage is coming, right? Yeah, or wash plate. No, all right. COVID now, you know, we can tell COVID, okay, please ensure all the lights they are off before we go to bed. That's appropriate, all right? We can say, okay, make some, you know, just lock the doors or do the laundries, all right? Even at that, there are still some things we don't allow him to do because he's growing, all right? Now, what I'm trying to say is that with growth comes that responsibility, comes a proof that a child or if someone is growing, is you are now useful. You now can help. Agreed? Yep. All right? So bringing that in, an evidence that the believer is growing will be service. All right? Service in the kingdom, in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's read Romans. We're going to read that Romans, okay? Let's now see how Paul describe this service. See Paul. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve. All right? Paul said, I serve. How did he serve? With my spirit in the gospel of his son. It's still about this gospel. So in that gospel, there is a service to be done. He said, this service is with my spirit. Now, see what he meant, because we need to read all of this together. All right. So what he meant by him serving with his spirit is that it says that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. So what was he saying there? He's saying that by serving God, with my spirit, all right, I've been praying for you. So we're going to get to the point here where we now begin to, because when we say, what is service? Should I be selling popcorn? Should I be bringing coconut to church? So that we know exactly, because the Bible specifies, we're not yet there, we're going to pick it one point at a time. But Paul said, I serve him. So prayer is a service. Is a service. We're going to get to that point. We're going to take it on one of those Sundays. We see several illustrations. But then it says, I serve with my spirit. All right? So it means that we are meant to serve God with our spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We are meant to serve God with our spirit. All right? So it is expected that with our spirit, we serve the Lord. Paul said, I serve. He said, I do not cease. So again, look at that. I do not cease, connoting fervency, consistency, persistency. Look at it again. How do we serve the Lord? We see number one, with our spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right, so that would be your time. Now, living sacrifice, that would be to serve the Lord, to serve. All right, because sacrifices they use to as an offering to be spent. All right, I've said it many times. Service means that you are available. All right, service means you are available. All right, we are not really particular about the abilities, or about the skills, or about perfection, the fact that you are available to be used, to be to be used, quote and unquote, right? Praise God. So, praise God. But to serve, hallelujah. So, you don't serve absent, you serve present. You serve, you are available. Hallelujah. It says your body. So, you know, I'll tell you one of those things. One of those days, one of those weekends, we've gone out, you know, calling people, maybe on evangel, maybe we've prayed on something, and we got home. Deborah said, my wife said, oh boy, I'm so tired. He said, nothing can take me out of this house again. He said that and paused for 3 seconds. He said, except for ministry. I said, yes, that's a believer. I said, yeah. He said, to let you know, he says, nothing can take me. I just want to, he says, except for ministry. And guess what? It was just about 10 minutes. Somebody needs something, she's out. That is service. We're going to get to how there's reward for all of those things. We'll get there. All right? But the point is, we just present to ourselves today. How do we? So we serve what? With our bodies, with energy. All right? At times I'll finish, I'll just crash somewhere. Hallelujah. And yet, we still need to, I'm not just talking about myself, but let's say, you know, it's not, but we just need to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. At times, I'm thinking, okay, I won't say that. I will say this. And it's at night, and that will be after so many, like all of us anyway, so many, many, many meetings and emails, and maybe because the pastor, it goes through all of those things that, as well. Hallelujah. Okay, so the point is we serve with our body. Okay, only acceptable and all. Now look at it again. Look at it. Let's look at verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It talks about the mind again. In the same vein. In the same context of service. Alright? So it means that the more you renew your mind, is that the growth we're talking about? Because growth is about knowledge. So it means that maybe I note if all of this is, says, I'll just gosh, all right? But now because I know better, I'll replace that knowledge in my mind with the knowledge of Christ. So I've renewed my mind in my response, all right? But because I know to pray, I now know not to complain that, oh, no, look, see, you know, this is my life. Oh, no, all right? But I will change my mind. I will renew my mind. I will take that knowledge out, put the knowledge of all that we've learned about the name of Jesus. Now I can make authority. I can pray. I can make things happen. I will renew my knowledge. Now, in the renewing of our knowledge, we are preparing our mind for service. So let's put it together. So it means that we can serve God with our spirits, right? Yeah. We can serve God with our bodies, right? And we can serve God with our minds. Yeah. Hallelujah. Very important. So the totality of our being is required in serving the Lord. All right? The totality of our being is required in serving the Lord. As we renew our mind, we are preparing them for service to the Lord. A renewed mind becomes the mind ready, willing and equipped to do the will of the Father, both your spirit and your soul and your body. Let's see some of this example, maybe just one or two examples before we wrap up today. Praise God. Acts chapter 6, we're talking about fervent serving the Lord. We've gone the route of, you know, just being saved is not the end of it. Hallelujah. Like some believers believe, we're saying that, yes, we are saved. It's free. We're ready. But then we're saying there is more. There is a work to be done in salvation. We're saying that work, all right? And because there's a work to be done in salvation, spiritual growth is expected. Salvation, the Spirit of God, produces fruits in the believer. It talks about growth. Hallelujah. And an evidence of that growth is set. Now, there are many things, you know, we see love, we see patience, but an evidence of that growth is service. All right, and we're seeing how do we serve God? We serve God with everything. Our spirit, our minds, our body goes into the service of the Lord. There's more to learn in this study. I want to encourage you, please do not miss it. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. You know, when the early church began in Acts, all right, the church began to grow, all right, and we know the story of how the church grew. 5,000 were added, 3,000 were added. Then the complaint started that, some of the widows or some of the women, all right, they are being neglected in the service or in the serving of food and all. And the apostles, they said, well, we're not going to belabor ourselves with serving tables and serving food. Now, see, the people they've been teaching, all right, the people that have been taught God's word. See what he said? It says, therefore, we are going to agree whether this is a function of growth or not. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Is that service?
Yes.
Will they serve? All right. Now, they've been taught God's word. They have the Spirit of God. All right. How will he reflect? They will now serve. They will appoint them over the business of the Father. And how did we read in Romans chapter 12? It says, in this business, we must be fervent. We must be... So there is no... I just want to do my Christian life solo. No. That's a wrong model. You are saved, no doubt. But we're going to get to the point where you want to rethink about it. Time won't permit me. Because there will be reward for these things. And it's not just... it's everywhere in the scripture. Where God rewards people for what we have done in the body. Now, that body is in the body of Christ. Time will permit us today. I just want us to see something quickly before we go. So, spiritual growth is service related. It takes away selfishness, all right? Before now, Stephen, Philip, and the rest of the, nobody knows them, all right? But it takes away selfishness and it impacts selflessness, all right? Whenever you find believers who are indifferent, all right, or not consistently serving God, or they consistently withdraw from the service of the Lord in the local church, it often reveals that something is lacking in their walk with the Father. Something is not right somewhere. All right, because see what I wrote here. I said, you cannot genuinely walk with God and remain indifferent to what matters to him. Think about it. You cannot genuinely love God and have the Spirit of God, and you don't just care. How can I say you love someone and you don't just care? No. If you love God, let's read something. And we're going to wrap up on that note today. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We're going to continue from there next week. Please don't miss this series. Hallelujah. Acts 20, 28. All right? You cannot genuinely love God and be indifferent to what matters to his heart. The church of God, no matter how imperfect it may be, all right, is his baby, is his idea. And you notice when it started, it says, before the word began. Before the word began. Look at it again. It says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flocks among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He was talking to the pastors here, but there's something to learn. And to shepherd, all right, to shepherd the church of God. Look at it. Where we're going? That church of God, how did it come about? God purchased it. See what he paid to purchase? With his own blood. All of this that we are seeing today was made happen by the blood of God. So when you say I got something with my blood, what does that mean? I gave it my everything. All right, so the church of God is bigger than anybody, all of us, all right, and that we must have that mind to serve in the local church. God planted us, you know, there's a song we sang here, God's word is here, I'm planted right here, winning the world with the world, winning the world. I can't even remember the lines of the song here. It says, winning the world with the word. God's word is here and planted right here, all right? And if we are planted, or because we are planted right here, we are expected to grow. And because we are growing, we are expected to bear fruits. And one of those fruits is service. All right? Don't wait for the pastor to say, okay, all of those, please, it's, permit me to say it, it's been babyish. Sorry. He's been, you know, it's, see, God said he gave you everything. You know, God is not giving any, and he's not going to give any other thing, quote and unquote. In that salvation is everything, all right? And it is for us to grow up to that responsibility as sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As sons of God, we are expected to grow up, all right, and serve one another. I wrote something here as we wrap up, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to speak on that next week. All right? I said you can't genuinely walk with God and remain indifferent with what matters to him. All right? Some says, I'm enjoying my Christian life. I listen to this YouTube. I have this message and all. And that's all right. Okay? But then we need to know that you are doing all of those so that you can serve others. It's not just the knowledge you've gathered from all of those things should not just sit down with you. No. It shouldn't just hang with you. All right? We are growing to serve Jesus. Look at it now together as we go. Ephesians chapter 4 verse. It says, but speaking the truth in love. All right? See, it says that may grow up in all things into him who is the head. So he expects us to grow up in him. Now, there are other things that I have not talked about today. All right? That body of Christ is where we have been planted. All right? And an evidence of that is growth in the Lord Jesus. Have you been blessed today at all? It's just an introduction in being fervent serving the Lord. Hello, we're going to be challenging ourselves to do better, all right? Because that is what God expects of us. Hello, it's not judging anybody, all right? It's just propelling ourselves, encouraging ourselves, all right? Considering all that God has done for us in his son, Christ Jesus, we're expected to grow up. And an evidence of that is service. So we're going to take more and clarify these things more. And, we tell us clearly, what is service unto God?